T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
What's up, everybody? It's Tobin here from... It's time for our Fighters Fury podcast. I'm starting off the podcast episode. You may have, if you guys listen live or tuned into the first, you may have realized I didn't get to recap the action from last night. Had to get the episode in a little bit early yesterday, so I didn't get a chance to react to the fight on ESPN yesterday. But it was, I mean, I was watching it live as it was happening. And what happened in the fight between Jose Zepeda and Ivan Baranchuk was, I mean, it's one of those things where you can't even like fathom what's going through your brain right now because of what these guys are doing. First of all, you know, I love Ivan Baranchuk, the beast, trains down here in Miami. Guy's an absolute stud, and looked like he just came in just phenomenal shape for this fight. And then Jose Zepeda is coming in there. They're both looking to get back into title contention, and his hands are just looking so fast. But it really looked like he was getting bullied early on in this fight, and Baranchuk is just hitting him with a barrage. He knocks him down twice in the first round. You're just like, oh no, you know, is Zepeda going to be, is he going to be in a bad spot here? Comes out of the first round and he hits him. You know, Baranchuk, we could say the only, you know, the big criticism here is like he took a shot early on from behind. He was turning his back, second time he did it in the fight, and he got put on the canvas, didn't get called, so he got lucky there. Otherwise the fight would have been evened up again based on Zepeda getting another knockdown. So he gets him early in the second, but he just kept coming, and Baranchuk is, you know, looking like a beast. He's definitely on some wobbly legs from that shot, but he ends up getting this big right hand out of nowhere, not looking, and puts Zepeda down again for the third time. So you know, it doesn't look great for Ivan after the big knockdown that he took, but he just keeps coming and he's so dangerous. Then Zepeda is just a little bit more calculated, puts him down again in the third and fourth round, but it's just like it's going wild. It's going wild back and forth. So they're going to the fifth round. It starts, you have this sense of comfort, like Zepeda has kind of weathered the storm a little bit, and Baranchuk puts him down again, fourth time in the fight, and you're like, wow, maybe he's gonna come back and win this thing. And instead, Zepeda lands this monster right hand. And it just makes Baranchuk fold up like a chair, dude. Like, I believe as our boy Dia Davis put it at Boca Boxing District, best boxing gym in all of Palm Beach County, hell, in all of Florida. Love you, boys. Folded up like origami, like just, and the fight was over. It was an unbelievable war. You just don't get a lot of boxing matches like that, you know. And the first of all, some of the bombs that these guys took, the shape they must have been in to take what they took in this fight was must have been unbelievable because of the, these things weren't like, there were no cheapies. Like, they were all vicious shots and they just kept coming. These guys were so damn tough. No way in hell like it could go 12 rounds. Like, if it kept going, like, eventually what happened was going to end up happening because of the kind of knockdowns they were delivering to one another. But it was a sensational show. Wish Baranchuk nothing but the best. I hope that he has a speedy recovery because that was a great showing by him. And again, I can't stress this enough, man. You know, that should not be a fight where he is now having to go into isolation and not be a guy where, you know, you consider him a contender anymore, former champion. Like, you should put him, he should be, like, as soon as he's healed up, people should be dying to watch him fight again. That's the way it should really go. It really, like, you know, that should be the way we go about and treat our boxers. And then yesterday we had on Fight Island, we had Holly Holm. She was main eventing against Irene Aldana, and Holly Holm ends up coming out on top. She wins a unanimous decision, pretty lopsided. Good for Holly. You know, she just continues to be an absolute beast and a pillar of the sport, especially in this division. She's now got two straight wins after her loss to Amanda Nunes. I would say probably the big performance that comes out of this, Jermaine Durand, to me, what a win by her. There was no Fight of the Night awards given out, but Jermaine Durand, to me, it was an interesting thing because, you know, she gets Juliana Pena by guillotine choke. And you think about Jermaine and her career, and she, you know, she's 36 years old now, but you wonder where it all would have been if she didn't do what she did to, didn't do what she did with the belt. You know, if she would have won the featherweight title and would have just stuck with it. Obviously, the big controversy there was she didn't want to fight Chris Cyborg, and Amanda Nunes, the undisputed GOAT. And you wonder, you're just like, you know, if she would have gone about that and would have fought that fight, like, where would people think of her career? Because, you know, she's got some nice wins. Obviously, she's 0-2 against Amanda, but everybody is, you know, everybody loses to Amanda Nunes unless you're Valentina Shevchenko. Even though Amanda's win against her back in last December wasn't like the most, I think, impressive one of her career, I still think Jermaine has so much of a hill to climb because, you know, people are bummed. One, I didn't think that she, you know, it was a dirty fight where she won against Holly Holm. You know, so it wasn't a fight where, you know, it felt like you were crowning this new champion or this great champion. And then secondly, the fact that she just didn't want to fight Chris Cyborg was just like, all right, well, all right. And Amanda was, and then I did what she did. And I think that's why Amanda's just got so much respect in everybody's eyes. Other than just her pure greatness. So it was still a great win for Jermaine. It was a good showing for her. Juliana Pena, who, you know, for the longest time, I think a lot of people looked at her and said that she was going to be the next thing, ended up having a child and, was kind of that stud of that Ultimate Fighter and whatnot. So, you know, tough loss for her, but, you know, still going to career. She's only 31 years old and not dead yet, especially in the women's division. I still think that she can bounce back. But that was, for me, was a great performance by Jermaine getting that win yesterday. And then, yeah, the main event, you had Carlos Felipe beating Jorgen De Castro. You know, it was fine. It wasn't anything. Carlos Condit got a win over Court McGee, which was great. Carlos Condit ended up getting his first win, I think, in 5 years. So really good performance by him. Kyler Phillips with a knockout win, TKO over Cameron Els. You know, people were very excited about that matchup, and he ended up shining as the favorite. So he gets an early one in the second round. And yeah, man. So that was your recap from yesterday. We'll get into the rest of the show here. Recapped a lot of the news and notes from what went down this week in the world of mixed martial arts and boxing. We're gonna have a great guest, so we'll get to a lot of news. One of the things I didn't get to, there was an interesting story this week about Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, and there was a report that they wanted him to fight Khamzat Chimaev, who's blown up. That's Dana's boy now. He'll fight anytime, any place, anywhere. You know, Wonderboy, I think the guy he's been gunning for is Leon Edwards. I gotta be honest with you though. You know, it's a funny thing. You know, I saw that he didn't want to fight a guy who's unranked, that he doesn't want to be the guy where it's like, hey, you know, look, it sucks for Wonderboy. They're putting him in the position of, hey, you're fighting this dude. He's not ranked. And you are going to be the one who, if he wins, they're going to be like, oh, he's ready to fight for the title. So I get it from Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. However, I would say, in a lot of people's eyes, if he were to go do something crazy, against Kamzat. Like, in a lot of ways, I would say he should, you know what they should do? Almost similar to, I think, what Jorge Masvidal's management did with the Ben Askren thing. Like, if he wins that, he's back, he's in title contention, had that writing somewhere. That's at least what they claimed. They should do something like that with Steven. Like, if he beats Kamzat Chimaev, all right, then he needs to be, like, back in the fold for the title next. Because that's clearly what they're, because obviously the stakes would be the same the other way for Chimaev. So, interesting enough, but Wonderboy doesn't seem too interested in it. It's going to be tough, I think, for Kamzat to get fights. So they're going to have to make it worthwhile, especially with the idea that he's in the position right now where I think a lot of fighters know that if he beats a top-ranked guy, that's going to kind of seal his fate as fighting for the belt. All right, let's get to our regular show this week. If you missed it, we have a lot of more news and notes from the UFC. We got to get into a lot of more news and notes from boxing, and we will talk to Evelyn Martins. She is an MMA fighter, fights out of MMA Masters. She's under the banner of Game Time Management, so we'll talk to the boys, Bean and Sergio, from them as well, see what they have going on with their agency and everything they're trying to put together, and we'll learn about the new local blossoming potential MMA star as well. So that's it. Here's the rest of our show, Fighters Fury. We roll on. Good Sunday morning, everybody. Welcome on in. It's Fighters Fury here on 790 The Ticket. Tobin here with you. As next hour, we'll dive all over the world of mixed martial arts and boxing. We got a good guest coming up today. We got the boys from Game Time Management, Bean Sergio. They're going to join us with their top new prospect, Evelyn Martin. She just won her pro MMA debut at Titan FC last week. So we will talk to that crew. We will talk a little bit about what they are up to and get to know Evan a little bit as she is just blossoming into her mixed martial arts career. So that's coming up later on in today's program. News of the week. We'll start off on the UFC side of things. Cody Garbrandt, we found out this week that he is going to be out for his fight UFC 255 versus Deiveson Figueiredo because of a bicep tear. So that now swings to Alex Perez. Bummer for Cody Garbrandt, you know, who is going to get this new found life for himself at 125. And I think, you know, this is one of those unfortunate things. Cody's had a lot of, has had a lot of injuries. And it's been unfortunate because this guy, you talk about skyrocketing to the top with winning the bantamweight title the way that he did against Dominic Cruz, having the tough losses that he did to TJ Dillashaw. But you know, his last win over against Rafael dos Anjos was just a sensational knockout. And that's always been the thing that, you know, you knew made Cody a little bit special, is he can knock fools dead. Obviously, in the fights with Dillashaw, a lot of people, you know, that's probably what cost a little bit too much, is that he believed in that power. But, you know, it wasn't the first time that he had mentioned that he wanted to go down to flyweight. And so it's a bummer to see that this is going now. I guess it's, if you take any solace in it, at least it's not something that's, you know, weight cutter related, but that's a pain in the ass injury, man. Those biceps, I mean, that's, you know, something that's held Wilder up in the past as far as boxing is concerned. You know, we've had Keith Thurman has had that and shoulder issues. So it's a nasty injury. It could take some real time, and especially for a guy who is a power puncher, is slick, is skilled, but I mean, that is the thing that I think separates him from a lot of people. So, you know, we wish Cody the best as his recovery goes forth, and hope that he can get right back to the top and whatnot, because that was an exciting fight. I was looking forward to seeing what he could do. On the other side of things, you know, it was funny this week. There was a lot of buzz surrounding the fallout of Israel Adesanya, and a couple of things that were coming out of this. One of them was that Paulo Costa wanted to get a rematch because of the controversy of Izzy going out there and basically humping him. I mean, you know, he was very derogatory in his celebration of Paulo Costa. These are not things that I get super offended about when it comes to fighting, and these guys are fighters. And you know, I remember, you know, Ronda Rousey got a lot of crap for this, that she wasn't very sportsmanlike after beating Misha Tate, even though they had a real personal beef, didn't like each other very much, and people were always expecting that. They want the martial arts to be very respectful, but sometimes it's not. You know, sometimes it stays nasty. Sometimes it stays within the lines of what they were doing in the fight promotion. Some people don't take that well, and I think Adesanya was one of them to what Paulo Costa was doing, so Yeah, he definitely ran up the score as far as the celebrations were concerned. As far as Costa getting him a shot again because he's mad about what Adesanya did, I mean, you know, as we say around these parts, the damage is done, my friend. Like, just because you were embarrassed by the things that Izzy did, you know, doesn't mean that you get to vault right back up top to middleweight and take him on again. So I think that's, you know, from I get the frustration. Nobody wants to be embarrassed, and then nobody wants to be embarrassed on top of humiliated inside the in the cage. But, you know, he doesn't get to just vault on top because he felt like Izzy crossed the line. So, yeah, he needs to go get another win. He needs to get himself right, get him back in the get himself back in the win column, because, you know, it'd likely say that he's not up in line after a performance like that in the championship bout. It wasn't a close fight. Was never really in it, and he got schooled. The other thing that had to be addressed this week was Adesanya. There was a lot of controversy. We didn't get too much into this last week, but there was a lot of controversy surrounding Stylebender and this, how is the best way to describe it? I guess he has a lopsided pec, it almost looks like. And it's very noticeable because Israel is very skinny. I mean, he's 6'4", 185 pounds. And so he's got this thing coming, protruding out of one of his pecs. And a lot of people, you know, started jumping on speculation on MMA message boards, which is a dangerous place to go, and MMA Twitter and MMA Reddit, that they think it's gynecomastia, that he has a lopsided pec and a growth there because he's juicing, that he's been on the sauce, and so that's gotten him some kind of a growth there. And this obviously brings forth a lot of it. There's a lot of controversy around that because of the fact that, you know, he's been so damn good. This is a guy that kind of burst onto the scene. It's come out of nowhere. Now, he did come out and he did an interview with Ariel Helwani and shot down all the speculation from his side. You know, he laughed it off. I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. It's one of those things where I don't think that it's the best thing to always be these Twitter sleuths when it comes to guys' body. I think that you could bring this up. I don't know. The eye test when it comes to steroids is tough. I'm not saying that it doesn't always work and some stuff's always obvious. It's usually, I think, it's much more obvious when you see guys get off of stuff and just see the change, more so than if they've all just kind of been on the scene that way. But, you know, look, this is going to come with, I think, more fame for Israel Adesanya, that people are going to speculate that he's juicing. I think that people are going to, I'm sure that Paulo Costa will start running with this to, start some beef and whatnot. But, you know, I'm not ready to leap there yet. I understand why it had to be addressed. It became such a thing publicly over the stratosphere that was mixed martial arts that they had to do something about it, and they had to do some addressing on it. So good on him for wanting to get to that. But I just think that it's a tough thing to do for Adesanya, and he's just dealing with a thing of almost new fame, if you will, and what he's got going on there. So there's that. Now, this was interesting last week. We also didn't get to this. Now, Dana White got upset with Conor McGregor because Conor has been in a bit of a public standoff with the UFC, if you will. And the news we talked about this last week, where Conor was announced that he's going to fight Manny Pacquiao. That's going to be the next event that he's going to do. That he's been trying to get a mixed martial arts fight, and that it just hasn't occurred. It hasn't, so he started leaking DMs between him and Dana White, which is just, I find hilarious. But I get, you know, people do it. I mean, it's one of these things with, it's not like I haven't communicated with some people via DM and whatnot, but I always picture my boss, like I would picture of a guy, my boss or my business partner, I don't feel like I would do it via Instagram. But whatever, they're doing it via Instagram. And so, you know, stuff leaks. The big thing that comes out of it is Dana White said at one point, because Conor, he's on this kick where he wants to fight Diego Sanchez. And Dana's like, bro, we'd lose our promoter's license if we did that fight. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. And a lot of it, in that one, I kind of agree with Dana. Like, what is Conor fighting Diego Sanchez for? He's a guy who's, you know, should still be in the prime of his career versus a guy who's, you know, just kind of hanging on and, you know, still fighting because, you know, he's a legend and, you know, they don't want to shoot, you know, cast him off. But, you know, for Conor, like, what's the point? You know, it's like, well, what's the point? You just want to have a fun exhibit, a fun go of it. And, you know, so that stuff leaks and Dana gets very pissed. He goes, Conor broke man code. And the response from McGregor was, well, you broke code when you lied about me taking fights. The other weird thing that came out of this was that McGregor then decides, I'm going to do a charity mixed martial arts exhibition against Dustin Poirier, where he's going to donate a bunch of money to the Good Fight Foundation. Poirier seems willing to do it. You know, Poirier is also in a bit of a public standoff with the UFC. So they're both in the public standoff, this public standoff with the UFC. And they want to have a mixed martial arts event, but it's not going to be professional. So I guess they're looking for some loophole. I can't imagine this is going to go down. First of all, I think if the UFC knew that McGregor was willing to fight Poirier, I think they would obviously offer him that fight. I would love for Dustin Poirier to get his hands on Conor McGregor and get him another crack of that. We actually recently had probably like the 5 or 6 year anniversary of that fight where Conor demolished Poirier in Ireland. Wasn't it in Ireland? No, it wasn't in Ireland. It was in Vegas, but it was at featherweight. It was at featherweight. And, you know, Dustin's in this spot right now where I feel like Dustin deserves a big fight, man. You know, Dustin deserves to fight Tony Ferguson. He deserves a whole lot of money. He deserves to fight Conor. He deserves a whole lot of money. It's weird to me that Dustin would almost agree to that. Like, Dustin's a really good dude, and he wants to do stuff for his charity. I get it, but you know, it's not out of the realm that he should fight Conor McGregor again, especially with how good he is in the lightweight division. And if Conor wants to solidify a title shot, he goes and beats Dustin Poirier. Look, if he goes and beats Dustin Poirier, I don't care if he's beat him already. You beat Dustin Poirier with his standing at lightweight, he deserves a title shot again. So I just found it weird that they put forth this whole exhibition thing. One, I didn't think it was going to fly with the UFC. So, it's not going to. Dana came out as soon as that news came out. He goes, all right, we'll offer each of these guys the fight. We'll see what they say. And now it seems weird. Like, you guys could still donate to charity if you guys didn't want to do the fight. I'm sure the UFC would put up charity money for Dustin's foundation and all that type of stuff. So I think in a lot of ways, I don't think this boxes Dustin in, because Dustin's been looking for the big payday. And I think that if they can rope Conor into fighting him, that'll solve that. He'll get his big payday. Conor is the one. UFC, I think, is happy because, okay, they got a Conor McGregor, Dustin Poirier fight. Maybe not, you know, the most blockbuster fight in the world, but it's a Conor fight nonetheless. So, and it also is a good fight for him to really solidify himself as a true contender at 155. And then the other part of that is, you know, you have this event. And you go and you fight each other. I think the only thing that really this probably trips up is Conor. Like, I don't think Conor's probably looking at this and being like, this wasn't the way I planned. I feel like Conor did this move to agitate, to show that, I'm going to put on a UFC. He just wants to put on an FU MMA event, probably to show what numbers he can do, how many people will watch, all that type of stuff. But, you know, From that standpoint, I think that, you know, if you're willing to fight Dustin Poirier, and Dustin's willing to fight you, and you guys want to do it for a whole heap of charity, well, do it, but do it in the UFC. I mean, like, you know, you don't think that's going to get a lot more eyeballs? So I don't know. I thought that was a weird story from this week. We'll see what this turns. It seems like this isn't going away anytime soon. As far as, you know, Conor's standoff with the UFC is concerned. So we'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more, again, a little bit of the boxing news of the week here on Fighters Fury. Again, we'll be talking with the crew from Game Time Management, Bean and Sergio, and, of course, their new fighter, Evelyn Martins, who just got her pro MMA debut win at Titan FC. We'll talk to them a little bit later on in the show. We'll be back with more after this. Welcome back, everybody. It is Fighters Fury here on 790 The Ticket. So I want to get to a little bit of this. So boxing news this week, we had Tyson Fury. He made it clear this week that he still wants to fight before the end of the year. There was news that he and Deontay Wilder appears like it's postponed. You know, obviously we're still in this crazy time of COVID-19, crowds being, you know, up in the air. And now the word was they were going to try and do this at, the hell's that new place called? I will just call it the Raiders Death Star. So they were going to do it. Apparently, you know, there was some crowd issues. One of the other things that's a big issue is that they were advised against it by ESPN and Fox because they're doing it basically in the heart of football season. You got conference championships that weekend. They were supposed to go December 19th. And, you know, they've been advised against it. Now, couple things with that. One, I find that a little bit weird. First, you know, I would imagine this fight is going to go off at a time where most of these games are going to be over. You know, it's not like they first fought in December. Now, it didn't do the numbers they probably wish that it did. You know, but I don't know. I don't know if that should be a huge reason. I think a big fight is a big fight. Maybe they're trying to work it away from as much stuff as possible because of the idea that this one's not going to be as easy to sell as the first rematch was. But they were told that we're going to move off of it. There's 5 conference championships. This was from Bob Arum. 2 NFL games, so we can't go with the 19th. We're looking at other dates because ESPN advised us and Fox advised us. And they're obviously both in bed with the NFL. But as far as Fury's concerned, he still wants to fight. And he says, the one thing I want to announce to the world is that I will be fighting in December, whether it's with Wilder in Las Vegas or if it's Joe Bloggs in England. I just want to fight now. I'm ready to go tomorrow, the next couple of weeks. I made it very clear that if we can't fight in America, I will come back to the UK. He's been living in Vegas, by the way. He'll come to the UK, do a homecoming, have a fight there with crowd, without crowd, whatever. The thing that's interesting about this, though, is, you know, so Fury's the man right now. You know, he is by all intents and purposes, he beat Wilder. He's got a rematch clause. People have asked, well, would Wilder step aside to, you know, if he was guaranteed some money, would he step aside just to make the Joshua fight happen? You know, apparently, you know, he's not going to let Tyson Fury go and fight the other title holder. He wants his rematch. But if they can't come to an agreement with this because they want the fight to be so big, it's a weird thing. You know, like, he is the guy right now. I'm sure that ESPN would love to do a Tyson Fury fight. You know, but one, I don't understand why if you have to do the wild card, I'm a little bit confused as to how he's allowed to fight anybody else. I guess is this looked upon as, you know, Deontay's side turning it down or them advising again. It's just a little bit strange. You know, some of the names that have been thrown out there, like Alexander Usyk, who's supposed to fight Chisora in October, and he's the WBO's mandatory challenger. That puts him more in line with Anthony, because the only belt that Tyson definitely has is the WBC belt. Dillian White just lost. He's got to fight Povetkin again. Suppose you could do Povetkin. I don't really have an interest in that. Daniel Dubois, you know, he's going to be fighting Joe Joyce coming up. Deh. Andrew Ruiz, that's an interesting one. I mean, he's supposed to fight Chris Areola, but apparently that's set back a little bit. Ruiz is an interesting one. I wouldn't mind seeing Tyson Fury versus Andrew Ruiz, just because at least you have some storyline there. I still think that he'll smoke him. But at least if you're going to do a fight, it's doable. The other interesting one they could always go with is Luis Ortiz, as badass as it gets. Interesting style, you know, southpaw, 6'4", but not, you know, the giant that is Tyson Fury, obviously, but has the ability to knock you out and is definitely a reputable threat. So, you know, it's interesting, though, that why it's interesting that Tyson Fury wants to get this done. It's interesting that you have all this stuff out there. And the whole idea is, well, if we could just do any heavyweight, I'd like it to just be, let's go straight to Anthony Joshua. Now, they probably wouldn't do that now because we're in October. And, you know, usually with these boxing events, they would love to have a live gate. They almost look upon the Deontay fight and the Joshua fight as too popular to put on. It's like what we talked about with Conor McGregor. Like, there are these promoters don't want to have these monster fights, especially in boxing, where the boxers actually get a cut of the gate. They don't want to have these monster fights where, you know, Wilder and him could split a $15 million gate, or him and Joshua could split a $20 million gate. They don't want to not have those on the table. So why not fight somebody? But you could still make your money. Ortiz, Ruiz, somebody like that. So, yeah, I would like, if they could do somebody like that, a Ruiz or a Luis Ortiz, that'd be fun. I wouldn't be into watching that. It's still risky, too. That's the only thing that's kind of a thrown of a wrinkle into this, is that, you know, these guys, they go in there and they fight Tyson. I think Tyson will win. Don't get me wrong. I think that he's in the spot right now where he's it's tough right now to go into a Tyson Fury fight and feel like he's not going to come out on top. Just the way we saw him adjust to Deontay Wilder, him already being the bigger guy that he is. Maybe you want to look at it and say, hey, that was Deontay Wilder's worst night at the office. It certainly was. And he could be a lot better. That's fine. But all that being said, he still went out there and, you know, made Wilder look as bad as he's ever looked. So it's a thing. So it'll be interesting to keep an eye on what goes down with that. And as far as, Tyson Fury's near future, it does feel like we're cranking up a little bit more towards boxing, you know, getting a hold of things. You got Lomachenko and Lopez is going to be coming up on October 17th. So we're only a couple weeks out for that. Very much looking forward to that card. Then we could get some dominoes to fall through. And speaking of the lightweight division, it was announced this week, by the way, that we are going to get a big card down here at the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino. Devin Haney is going to be fighting Yorioki Scamboa. So they're going to have the hometown flavor on November 7th. And that'll be pretty cool. You know, we're going to get, that's a fun matchup. Devin Haney's been, he was down here pretty recently. We had him on at Radio Row. And then he did some stuff at Fifth Street Gym. And Yorioki, you know, trains out here. So that's pretty cool. We'll be getting that at the Guitar. I got to tell you, I don't know how that's not a huge destination for a ton of fights. It's a beautiful setup over there. They got everything going on. But November 7th, Devin Haney taking on Yorioki Scamboa. And then they're supposed to do another card November 27th. They're also going to do it at the Hard Rock. So that's pretty cool. We got a couple of big events that are going to be coming down to South Florida, and that's pretty cool. So look, I've given DAZN a lot of the business, but I will give them at least a little bit of a head nod. At least they've brought some pretty decent fights down here in regards to, and given them a platform to be broadcast on. So we'll I'm sure have a ton of coverage on that as far as everything is concerned with Devin Haney or Yorioki Scamboa when that gets into town. And while we're sticking with the lightweights, while I've been kind of on this theme, there has been a maneuver in the schedule. Gervonta Davis, he was supposed to be fighting Leo Santa Cruz on the 24th. That's been moved back a week to October 31st. Remember, that was supposed to be a pay-per-view card with fans in attendance. They're doing that in Texas. They've moved that down a week because that's the same week as Khabib versus Justin Gaethje. And you know, you're going to get smoked in that case. Like, I know they were happy this past week. A lot of people were happy that the Charlo brothers did 100,000, which good for them. But that same weekend, the reports were that I think it was Stylebender and Costa did 700,000, which is pretty damn good, man. I mean, the UFC, Their numbers have been thriving. The UFC has been doing good business in all this type of stuff. You know, everything with that, with them being the first back with sports, I think it really did pay off for them in regards to getting eyeballs and people sticking with it. And so we also remember that recently we had the Canelo Sergey Kovalev thing where they were waiting out the Nate Diaz Jorge Masvidal. Like, boxing really doesn't have, like, and that was a big tell. Like, I know people, I don't like to do boxing versus UFC. I love them both. Although, you know, the UFC has been cranking along very strongly while it's been pretty meek for boxing. You know, I'm just like, we're just saying, like, it's just starting to now get some fights that people are excited about. But from the standpoint of getting people excited about, you know, from the standpoint of like on a given night, could the biggest UFC, is there any big boxing match that could outdo a UFC? And I would say, unless the name Manny Pacquiao or Floyd Mayweather is involved, probably not. I don't think so. I don't think Canelo even has that right now. I don't think that we've been covering how hard it's been for Canelo to find an event that DAZN has even finds. He's been in a damn fight with DAZN about it. So yeah, I get it. I get why Showtime wants to jump off of that date. I mean, it feels like if you go up against Khabib versus Gaethje, you're going to get crushed. It's going to be, I'm sure, an awesome card. Fight Island, even though I do think it is supposed to be earlier. I feel like that broadcast is supposed to be earlier than the other event. But either way, I'm trying to think, like, what right now in boxing, like, if Teofimo Lopez and Lomachenko were to fight on the same night as, I'm trying to give it like a good example. Well, it's a poor example because they're both ESPN, so ESPN wouldn't do that. They don't want to cannibalize their own pay-per-view. So let me make it Anthony Joshua versus Tyson Fury. I'd say Anthony Joshua Tyson Fury is probably the rare one right now in boxing where it's like, if that was going on, I would bet you the UFC would probably try and stay away. You know, maybe not. They'd say it was certain cards. Like if Conor was fighting, if Masvidal was fighting, if Khabib was fighting, GSP, Stylebender even, you know, maybe they chug along forth. But, you know, for the most part, they got boxing beat in every angle in that regard. So it's important for boxing to get cranking up again here. It really is with all this big matchups, these competitive matchups to get people back and attracted to the sport. We'll take a quick break. Be joined by the crew from Game Time Management next and their new fighter, Evelyn Martins, who just won her mixed martial arts debut at Titan FC. We'll be back with more after this. All right, very excited to bring in my next guest, the crew from Game Time Management. Thanks for the time, everybody. How is the office going today on this this lovely weekend?
Everything is good, man. Everything is good. Thank God. First of all, I want to say thank you for always believing on us, always giving us the opportunity. I want to thank Ryan Schneider for making this happen. You know, what we created because of him is going to be a long run. And now we have a future champion. So get ready, man.
Okay. So, Evelyn Martins, you just made your debut at Titan FC. You kicked ass, got yourself your first win. Congratulations on that. First of all, how were the nerves the first fight? Did it go as you imagined it would with all that hard training you put into it?
First of all, thank you. I was like prepared for this fight. You know, I trained a lot, and then all I knew was like that I was going go inside of the cage and put the whole hard work that I've been, you know, training. And then yeah, I was good. I don't get nervous before fight. I was feeling happy that, you know, so.
Was it good just getting the first one under your belt? Like, how long had it felt like you were waiting to make that debut?
I'm sorry.
How was it good to get the first win under your belt? Like after everything you had been, I'm sure leading up to your first win, like what was the feeling like after it was over?
For sure. I mean, it was my first professional. I mean, it was my first MMA fight, but yeah, the win was perfect for me, you know, cause it was meaning a lot of things. I got, you know, good gifts. I got like my Game Time Management team now. I'm just starting my career. So getting that win was good, you know, so I'm really, really happy.
You guys have been, you know, at these Titan events like crazy. I see you guys at all the regional scenes and whatnot. So I guess as far as your the landscape of things with, you know, you guys in the South Florida market and what you guys are wanting to do in the fight game, what have you seen this year turn into? Because obviously you guys have been much more visible over the last 12 months and things seem to like they're blowing up for you. So what has that ride been like?
Man, it was just putting in hard work, man. Everybody's saying in the COVID thing, everybody's going to be on shutdown. We sat down with Lex. We were like, hey, Lex, give us the opportunity to go ahead and just bring it to Miami, man. Because in Fort Lauderdale, not for nothing, it's Fort Lauderdale, the fighters. This is the Mecca, is Miami. We have the fighters. We got Yuli. I mean, it sucks to say that he's not here right now, but he's in camp with Lex for both of their fights, upcoming fights. So he gave us the opportunity, man, and thanks for everything. And now look at us now, just making sure that every month we have somewhere to watch. UFC Fight Pass has somebody to see in the fight industry, man. And it's Titan FC. It's not just UFC, it's Titan FC. And we got Sergio will actually give you more details on that. He's the main man on that.
Yeah, give us two to him, man. Because you guys had the big announcement last week of you know, Lex is doing a fight. I hear Yuli's out training with him. So just all the events and you guys being a part of putting on great events down here.
Yeah, it really, honestly, it all started, like Bean said, with Titan FC. You know, Lex believed in us. Bean and I had a dream of taking MMA to the Dominican Republic. You know, Bean's Dominican. I grew up in the Dominican Republic, so we really wanted to do something special down there and bring the sport, showcase the talent. You know, a lot of people don't realize that there's talent. Obviously, there's talent all over the world in MMA and all types of combat sports, right? So we wanted to bring it to the Dominican Republic because it's near and dear to our heart. And Lex believed in us. He let us lead the way. We got a great partnership down there, and then now it's opened the door for us in so many different avenues. You know, we have a lot of different promotions that call us that want to work with us and get them venues and help them put on events. You know, I mean, nothing's concrete, nothing's in writing, but I mean, we meet with, you know, we meet with Top Rank Boxing, we meet with the Bare Knuckle Fighting, and you know, it's the BKFC, which is basically, you know, you talk about BKFC, that's the UFC or Bare Knuckle Fighting. You know, Dave Feldman really is the one that fought to get this on the map and get it approved by the commission. So now it's a real sport and it's got great momentum and it's growing. And just being and I and our entire team, I stress that all the time. You know, we do have a great team behind us. We have a great support cast, and you know, we're growing every day, and everybody's people believe in us and they're giving us a lot of opportunities, and we're making the best of it, right? And during a time when everybody was on shutdown, we've been working hard behind the scenes. You know, a lot of stuff is coming to it because of that. And, you know, obviously one of the most exciting things of Game Time Management is, and I say it not just because she's sitting next to me, I say it all the time, is bringing Evans on board. You know, she's a special girl and she's got so much talent, and we're just blessed and honored that she believed in us and she's given us the opportunity to help manage her career.
And how do you guys, I guess as a team, Evelyn, you wanting to, you know, put the landscape of your career and whatever the next steps may be. How do you guys conglomerate that between management and fighter of when you're starting a young career with a lot of promise and everything's in front of you? How do you guys work at that? I guess from every one of your angles, how do you guys feel that is to manage the start of an MMA career and the best steps to take?
You know, reality with a young athlete, you know, and we have our youngest athlete is actually sitting in the room. He's a world champ, national champ wrestler. He's 9 years old and he's a beast. And, you know, so what we do is we treat all of our clients like family, right? So with somebody like Evelyn, it's just a matter of she's put the hard work in, right? So she just trains. It's just a matter of you can't rush things and you don't want to just fight for any promotion. And I think just to really, for people to see how talented you are, you got to pick the right promotions to fight in. You got to pick the right fights and the right opponents. And it's just letting her do her work. I mean, she's the one that puts in the hard work. You know, Bean and I and Game Time Management, what we do is we give her the ability and we help make fights and get the right platform for her to showcase. And then, you know, one of the biggest things that we tell our athletes, and we've talked to Evelyn about it, you know, obviously this is fighting it can be a long-term thing. It can be a short-term thing, but the main thing is to position yourself properly and use this platform for the future, because there's always life after fighting. The beautiful thing about Evelyn, and I mean, you'll hear her speak. I mean, she speaks very well. She presents herself so well. So she's an amazing fighter, but she's also an amazing person. And, you know, all we can do is just help her showcase what she has and showcase her talents, and then just basically treat her like we would treat our own, you know, our own daughter, our sister.
What would you, what made you want to get into fighting, Evelyn?
I mean, I started, like, it's a funny story because I started training MMA things, like jiu-jitsu, everything that involves MMA when I was like 12, 13 years old. But the thing is, my family all used to go to the gym and train, you know, jiu-jitsu, capoeira, some of those Brazilian sports, you know, that is popular in Brazil. I mean, they have like soccer, but my family always used to do like jiu-jitsu, capoeira. So my uncle used to fight MMA before. So when I was like 7 years old, he started fighting and I started watching his fight. And then I was like, oh, I like that. And then one day I was in a place, I don't remember where exactly, but I was watching UFC for the first time. And for the first time I saw Ronda Rousey fighting. I was like, oh, that's cool. I like it. Maybe I should have tried one day. And then my mom, she went to the gym. She made to train Muay Thai class. And I say, hey, mom, I want to go. And then my sister, yeah, let's do it. Let's do it together. And then I say, you got to bring me to the gym, mom. And she's like, okay, you're going to train, but you're not going to fight, because she didn't like the beginner. But, you know, because she used to say, like, it's a crazy sport. It is, but it's a sport like any other, you know. So I started from that. And then when I was 12, I did my first fight, Muay Thai fight. And then I just started fighting and training more. And then I started from striking, but I always told my daddy, like, I want to do MMA. So he bring me to the other gym to train the grappling part. So I started training wrestling, jiu-jitsu over there in Brazil. And then when I was like, real quick story, so you can know, like, already, when I was 15 years old, I came here just to train, you know, and get better in everything, actually. So I got a lot better when I got here.
Where are you training out of?
MMA Masters.
You guys are killing it right now. The whole gym. I've been talking to a lot of your fighters, and I've been saying that MMA Masters has been on just a huge, huge role. Can you? Because I feel like that ATT and Harley's, they get a lot of the shine, but MMA Masters has always been great. But I feel like they've been taking a big jump this year. So what has been everything going on there? Like, does it feel like there's a different vibe as far as it, you know, getting bigger, a lot of momentum, and you guys just rising?
Yeah, man, for sure. The difference between our gym and another gym is the quality, you know. We cannot have them, like, a lot of athletes, you know, fighting MMA or something like that, but we have quality. We have great coaches, Daniel Varvoyer, which is a good grappler. He's a black belt, judo and jiu-jitsu. We have Cesar Cornet, which he had, like, a great striker. So the whole thing that I think the difference is the quality. So that's why we've been killing, doing good. Actually, this 2020 was being a great year for us in MMA Masters, because, you know, have a lot, like, new athletes in the UFC fighting. I mean, I just started my professional career now, so.
So, fellas, you guys announced this. You were talking about this big news this week. So Yuli's off in training Lex for this fight going down. Can you give me the backstory on this whole thing of him wanting to get in there and fight, and what this is all going for, and the thing that as far as Yuli getting down there and training, is he going to take it easy on Lex? Like, how is this going to go?
Well, he's not going to take it easy, man. It's a fight. He got to go in there, and somebody's going to go in there and try and take his head off. So Yuli's going to be the one to say, hey, get ready. You know, who better than Yuli? About Lex, Lex has been wanting to do it. It's been inside of him. He's like, we sat down so many times, just like, guys, what do you think? And I was just like, man, what are you doing, man? You know, but go ahead, Serge. I don't know how you really felt.
I mean, listen, I appreciate what he's doing. I told him, I said, look, you have nothing to prove to anybody. I mean, you did two tours of Somalia, for crying out loud. You know, you've been in real battles and real war. So, you know, I understand his point. You know, he said, look, I ask these kids to get in there every day. And the reality is, when you go step into a cage, you're putting your life on the line. You know, anything can happen. You know, you can get injured. You can be killed. I mean, we've seen it happen, right? So it's definitely something that he felt was very important to him, and we respect him for it. And when he told Bean and I, which is what really, you know, showed us, it gave us a lot of validation as a management company and as a friend to Lex, he said, look, with all the relationships that I have and all the management companies that I know, I want Game Time to be the one to manage me. That to us is an honor. And I think it's amazing. Bean and I are heading up to Alabama next week to camp to go see him and support. And Yuli's up there. You know, the good thing is Yuli's getting training because Yuli's fighting bare knuckle mid-November down here in Miami.
Oh, so it's coming back down here, bare knuckle?
Oh, yeah. We're working on something. You know, hopefully we keep bare knuckle here.
It's a fun event. It's a cool thing is getting to go to a couple of them. They put on a great show. I'm sure, like you guys, like they have a cool crew. I've always said, you know, I'd say this to Yuli, like he's like the Swiss Army knife of combat. Like I've seen him in boxing, I've seen him in MMA, I've seen him in bare knuckle, and bare knuckle is just such a I don't know, it's a different intensity. It's like you really don't know what's gonna happen as soon as that bell rings. I know that happens in a lot, like that could be the case in plenty of sports, but. You know, it's so new, it feels like. You really don't know how guys are going to go about with strategy in these things.
It's insane. And I mean, you were with us in Fort Lauderdale when bare knuckle fighting was here, right? And just the sound of the hand punching a face. I mean, you hear it in street fights, right? But I mean, when you're there inside of an arena and you're up close and you hear that, you hear bone on bone, it's I don't know, it's crazy. And it's super exciting. And we're glad that it's coming down to Miami because we think it's a great place with all the history that we have with backyard brawls and all that stuff here. It's a great fit, right? So, it looks like November 13th. It's looking like bare knuckle fighting will be here in Miami.
That's awesome. Before we get you out of here, you guys have been doing some awesome stuff in the community with feeding the homeless. What went about making this thing happen, a regular thing where you guys are trying to give back like that? And how is it if people didn't get a chance to see you guys do that, is there any way that people can go and help currently, just to let you know your connection with it?
It started with Yuli and a few guys that he knows that were doing it straight out of their pocket just to go help. And what happened is now Yuli got involved and then his girlfriend, Dana Brooke, WWE superstar, got involved and it's gotten a lot of attention. And we were pulling a lot of people together. We did it yesterday. We had about like 30 some odd cars come out and every car has several people. So we probably had like a group of, I would say like 60 to 80 people out there. And the Miami Dolphins were obviously, they're gracious enough to donate 300 meals. So that's the biggest one we've done. In the past, we usually do about 100 meals. With the Dolphins' help, we were able to do 300 meals. The good thing is that every month, we do it once a month. Every month, it gets more and more organized, and it's getting bigger and bigger. So we'll be putting it out there, but the goal is to do it once a month, every month, you know, or forever. And this thing is going to take on a life of its own, and it's going to get huge. You know, we're not doing it for Instagram. The reality is the reason we put it out there is because we want support, right? We don't do it so that people can see that we're doing something good to giving back. You know, we want people to know we give back, but the reality is we just want this to grow. And that's why we put it out there. So, you know, on the next one, we'd love to have you out there. It'd be cool if you can make it. You know, we usually do it on a Thursday or a Friday. And we'd love to have you out there.
Absolutely, man. We'll definitely try and make that happen. Because it's great work you guys are doing for sure. Evelyn, it's been great getting to meet you too. It's going to be exciting seeing your career blossom down here. So it's going to be looking forward to seeing the journey. And guys, it's been an awesome year seeing you guys grow as well. So thank you so much for the time. Best way to follow you guys all as far as people want to keep up with the careers and the movement and all that type of stuff.
Instagram, Game Time Management is ours. Evelyn is Evelyn Martins. No, Evelyn _ Martins seven.
Yes.
And you know, we'll be around you. We'll stay very active. We'll stay very, very, we'll stay out there so everybody can find us and see us. But yeah, Game Time Management and then Evelyn _ Martins seven. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, this is really, I'm not going to say the face of women's MMA. I'm going to say she'll be the face of MMA, right? So just keep an eye on her. We're excited about it. So great future, great things coming.
Absolutely. Thank you guys so much for the time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. You know, we got mad love for you.
All right, guys. Thank you to Bean, Sergio, and Evelyn Martins from Game Time Management. Congratulations again to her winning her mixed martial arts debut. That is our show for this week, everybody. If you missed any of it, download the podcast at the radio.com app. Subscribe, Fighters Fury. You could also do that on Apple Podcasts, wherever podcasts are available. You can also check us out on YouTube. Go look up Tobin Show up on YouTube. And You'll be able to subscribe there, see all of our fight videos. We have great interviews spanning a bunch back. In fact, there's a whole playlist on our YouTube page of strictly mixed martial arts content, fighter interviews, all that type of stuff. And you'll see a lot of cool in-depth stuff there. We got more stuff coming in the weeks ahead. So everybody have a great rest of your Sunday. Hopefully this is a Sunday filled with wins, with the Dolphins taking on the Seahawks, with the Heat looking to stay alive. You know, like this is you got a chance tonight to either make it a series or, you know, the Lakers pretty much put a bow on it. So a lot of stakes coming forth tonight with, your Miami Heat back in action on the floor. So we'll have full reaction for you that coming up on Monday. And until then, everybody have a great rest of your Sunday.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.